Leaving while pregnant, he goes crazy. Chapter 121. The last time. After the car drove away from the Blackwood family, Eva finally felt the eerie feeling disappear. But even so, that feeling just now made her extremely uncomfortable. After the car drove away, she couldn't help but turn her head to look at the spot in the forest where she had just been. Was there someone there, or was she just being too sensitive lately? Recently she had been taking Adrian's car to and from work, always being by his side, and nothing strange had happened. But that moment just now was really bizarre. What's wrong? Adrian's voice came from beside her, bringing Eva back to her senses. She snapped out of her trance and then shook her head. It's nothing. Eva pursed her red lips, thinking that maybe she was feeling restless because her grandmother was having surgery, causing her to have these unfounded thoughts. Adrian glanced at her, noticing that her complexion wasn't as normal as when they left the house, so he glanced in the direction Eva had been looking through the rearview mirror. She had been looking in that direction the whole time, but Adrian took a few glances and didn't notice anything unusual. In the end, Adrian simply thought that she was worried about her grandmother, and that's why she reacted that way. Perhaps past events had left a shadow on her. Adrian's eyes darkened slightly as he gradually slowed down the car. After the car had gone far away, a figure emerged from the forest. Alexander threw the cigarette in his hand to the ground and stomped on it with his foot before taking out his phone to call Julia. Figure out a way to separate Adrian from her. Julia was still with Vivian at the moment because Granny Blackwood was going to have surgery in the afternoon, so Julia planned to wait until Granny Blackwood was in the operating room before sending a message to Alexander to take action. She just didn't expect him to contact her first. She furrowed her brow and asked, "What? Without separating the man from her side, how can we make a move?" Alexander's eyes showed a deep rage, not knowing if it was because Eva had realized his intentions after he bumped into her that day. So these past few days, not only did she not come downstairs during the day, she didn't even separate from Adrian when she was alone. In these past few days, Alexander had no intention of touching her, he just wanted to familiarize himself with her movements and the times she was alone. But he didn't expect that during this time, she had been with Adrian all along. If he decided to make a move today, and she wasn't alone, then he wouldn't be able to act either. After hearing his words, Julia probably understood his meaning. "I understand, I'll figure something out." After hanging up the phone, Julia entered the hospital room. Vivian had been holding onto her phone ever since she woke up, as if her phone was a precious treasure. "What's wrong? Who was looking for you?" Vivian raised her head and asked. Julia thought carefully for a moment and didn't tell her. Granny Blackwood gently squeezed Eva's hand, trying to reassure her. "Don't worry, dear. It will all be fine," she said with a reassuring smile. Eva nodded, but her anxiety was still visible in her eyes. As they entered the operating room, Granny Blackwood underwent various preoperative preparations and then lay quietly on the bed, waiting. Eva and Margaret stayed by her side, providing comfort and support. "You two don't have to keep staring at me. Take a break," Granny Blackwood said, concerned about their well-being. Margaret laughed and replied, "We're just here to keep you company, Granny. We don't mind." Eva nodded in agreement, giving Granny Blackwood's hand a comforting squeeze. The tension in the room was tangible as they prepared for the surgery. Feeling the strength in her hand, Granny Blackwood couldn't help but glance at her. Eva noticed Granny Blackwood looking at her and immediately forced a smile, but even so, Granny Blackwood could still sense the stiffness in her smile. "Grandma, don't be afraid. We're all waiting for you outside. Just relax and have a good sleep. Everything will be fine when you wake up." Granny Blackwood noticed a slight tremor in her voice when she said this. "You, little girl." Granny Blackwood felt a warm feeling in her heart and reached out to hold her hand back. "I'm not afraid. Don't worry, stay outside with Adrian and wait for me.
Yes, Grandma, you must come out safely.
I'll be waiting for you.
Okay.
As they approached the operating room, Eva still held onto Granny Blackwood's hand tightly, as if she was in a trance. Adrian stepped forward and held her delicate wrist, with his other hand around her waist.
Grandma is going in for surgery.
Don't worry, she'll be fine.
His voice was deep, right next to Eva's ear.
After he finished speaking, he pulled Eva's hand back. Eva finally let go of Granny Blackwood's wrist, but her gaze remained fixed on Granny Blackwood's face.
Grandma.
Eva, don't worry, I'll definitely be fine.
Finally, Granny Blackwood was pushed into the operating room. If it wasn't for Adrian holding her back, Eva almost wanted to rush forward and talk to her again. But then she realized that she could actually wait until after Grandma's surgery was done to chat with her. Once she realized this, Eva sat back down and anxiously clenched her own fingers, waiting anxiously.
Chapter 122. When have I ever blamed you? The lights in the operating room quickly turned on, and the family members could only wait outside. Adrian pulled Eva to a nearby chair and sat her down. She sat down, but for some reason, Eva had a special sense of foreboding. Her eyebrows were tightly furrowed in discomfort. For some reason, from morning until now, she had always felt that things weren't quite right. But because all of her attention was focused on her grandmother, she naturally didn't think about anything else. And the person sitting beside her, Adrian, hadn't let go of her wrist since he held it earlier. His grip was strong, and the warmth from his palm continuously reassured Eva. If it weren't for Adrian, she probably would have been even more anxious. Lost in her thoughts, Adrian's phone, which he had placed in his pocket, started vibrating. Since her grandmother had entered the operating room, Adrian had set his phone to silent mode with vibration. Moreover, his colleagues knew that Granny Blackwood was going to have surgery, so they wouldn't contact him during this time. Who could be contacting him at a time like this? Subconsciously, Eva glanced at Adrian. Adrian pursed his thin lips and met her gaze for a moment before taking out his phone. Sure enough, Vivian's name was displayed on the phone screen. Seeing Vivian, Eva inexplicably bit her lip. At a time like this, he wouldn't still want to answer Vivian's call, would he? Lost in thought, Margaret, who was sitting across from them, suddenly spoke.
"Isn't it about time to turn off your phone?" she said. This statement echoed Eva's inner voice, and she also looked towards Adrian. Whether it was because of Margaret's words or because Adrian himself realized that it wasn't appropriate to answer Vivian's call outside the operating room at this time, he hung up the call. Margaret turned her gaze away and didn't look at him again. Eva breathed a sigh of relief in her heart. At the same time, she wanted to retract her hand. After Adrian noticed, instead of letting go, he tightened his grip on her hand. She raised an eyebrow and looked at him.
"Hold it," Adrian said coldly.
"So you won't be afraid?"
Eva was speechless. Who said she was afraid?
But with his hand holding hers, she did feel a bit safer. However, she had promised Vivian not to have any intimate actions with him.
Does holding hands count as intimate?
Grandma has always been a fortunate person, Adrian said again.
Upon hearing that, Eva snapped back to reality. Even if holding hands counted as an intimate action, she couldn't think about anything else at this moment.
She nodded, "I know.
Are you cold?"
Adrian suddenly asked.
Eva shook her head.
Then, in the next second, Adrian released his grip on her hand. In that instant, Eva felt her heart relax. But this feeling didn't last long because Adrian took off his jacket. She picked up the coat and draped it over Eva's body with warmth and a refreshing scent. Eva was taken aback. She thought, "Didn't I say I'm not cold? Why is he still?" While pondering, Adrian sat down next to her again and held her wrist once more. Eva was speechless. In front of Kim and Margaret, she didn't say anything further. Everyone waited quietly outside the operating room. Unfortunately, the moment didn't last long. About 10 minutes later, her phone in her pocket vibrated again. Since the coat was draped over Eva, she could feel the vibration clearly. Subconsciously, she glanced at Adrian and their eyes met his deep, dark eyes. "Your phone is ringing again, aren't you going to answer?" she asked. Hearing this, Adrian pursed his thin lips and replied, "It's in your hands now." What does he mean? Is he suggesting that she takes the initiative to answer the phone? At first, Eva could pretend to ignore it, let him handle it. Did he really think she would give in? But as the phone continued to vibrate in her pocket, it started to bother her. She looked at Adrian. "If I turn off your phone and we miss something important, would you blame me?" Adrian's gaze fell directly on her face. "When have I ever blamed you, from childhood till now?" he said. With that, Eva was left speechless. "Well, since you said that, I'm turning off your phone." "It's annoying," she said. After speaking, Eva took his phone out of his pocket, only to find that it was on silent mode. From the screen, she could see that Vivian had called several times. Calling now. Did she want to ask Adrian about Grandma's surgery? While pondering, the phone suddenly vibrated again, but this time it wasn't a call, it was a text message, and Eva happened to see it. "Mr. Blackwood, this is Julia. I've been calling you, but you haven't picked up. I don't know if something is holding you up. But I have something urgent to tell you. Vivian ran away, I don't know where she went, she's injured, and she left her phone in the ward. I can't find her at all, I'm really worried, I don't know what to do. If you see this message, please help me find Vivian." Though the message was long, Eva quickly finished reading it. "Vivian is missing? She disappeared at such an important moment? How could she be gone?" Eva's eyebrows furrowed as she looked at Adrian. Adrian was currently looking in the direction of the operating room and didn't notice her. If she pretended not to have seen the message, turned off the phone, and if Adrian asked afterwards, she could say she didn't see it, and he couldn't blame her. And even if he thought she saw it, he couldn't do anything to her. After all, it was his own words that the phone was with her. In her hands, the decision rested with her. Moreover, even if she got hurt, Vivian was still an adult. Don't adults know how to take care of themselves? Even if something happened, it would be her own fault. Eva held the phone, battling with her thoughts. She didn't know how long had passed when Adrian turned his head to look at her. Seeing that she was still holding the phone, he asked, "Did you turn it off?" Upon hearing his words, Eva gradually snapped out of her thoughts. She slowly raised her gaze to look at him, then pursed her lips and said, "There's a message. I think no matter what, you should take a look." After speaking, Eva handed the phone over to Adrian. It turned out that all the psychological preparation she had done for herself was in vain, and in the end, she still couldn't bring herself to ignore it. Vivian had injuries on her face. What if she couldn't handle it? And for Eva, she liked Adrian and had even saved him. Deep down, Eva was also grateful to Vivian. If it wasn't for her, Eva probably would never see Adrian again. "You should go and take a look." She heard herself speak in a very soft voice. Chapter 123 An Incident. When she handed him her phone, Adrian could also see the content clearly. Eva clearly saw his pupils contract, probably because of Vivian running out and causing tension. She turned away, wanting to take off her coat, but at that moment, she heard Adrian say, "I'm going out for a bit." Although she had already guessed the outcome, hearing him say it out loud made her feel a bit different. Eva softly said, "All right," and then stood up, wanting to take off her coat and give it back to him. Adrian's expression changed, and he held her hand.
No need, you wear it.
Upon hearing this, Eva paused. But it's cold outside.
I'm a man, Adrian's voice was a bit firm.
You wear it, I'll be back soon. After saying that, he turned his head and looked at the operating room's light.
The surgery still has an hour left.
I will be back within an hour.
If there's anything, call me.
Eva pursed her lips and gently said,
Okay, tell your parents yourself.
Adrian nodded. Afterward, he let go of her hand and went to find Kim and Margaret. When Margaret heard that he was going out, she immediately widened her eyes unhappily.
What time is it?
Why do you want to go out at this time?
Aren't you worried about your grandmother?
Adrian tightened his lips and remained silent, enduring the scolding. Seeing him stay silent, Margaret reached out and poked his chest.
Speak up, what do you want to do?
He didn't say anything, but the expression on his face clearly indicated that he was definitely going out. Seeing this, Margaret chuckled coldly.
Did Eva agree to let you go?
Only then did Adrian lift his gaze and nod. Upon hearing this, Margaret couldn't believe it.
What?
She actually agreed.
Margaret then looked in Eva's direction.
Receiving her gaze, Eva felt a bit embarrassed but could only turn her face away as if she hadn't seen. Then she heard Margaret sarcastically say,
Well, she sure is generous, actually agreeing to let her husband go out and find someone else at such a time.
Eva was speechless. This was the first time she had been mocked by Margaret. Eva could only feel her ears burning.
Adrian slightly furrowed his brows.
I have something very important.
What important thing could be more important than your grandmother?
Vivian is missing, and I have to find her.
Upon hearing Vivian's name, Margaret paused. Truth be told, she extremely disliked her son's attitude towards Vivian, but unfortunately, Vivian was also the great benefactor of their Blackwood family. When faced with a great benefactor, not a single harsh word would come out of her mouth. However, she still asked, How did Vivian go missing?
What happened to her?
Adrian raised his hand and glanced at the time. She suffered severe injuries to her face, which will leave scars.
Recently.
Bad temper. Upon hearing that she had suffered a serious injury to her face, the beauty-loving Margaret was momentarily speechless. After all, if Margaret's face was also injured, she would probably go crazy.
I'll go first.
Adrian withdrew his gaze and quickly left when he saw that Margaret and Kim weren't saying anything else. Watching his back, Margaret could only say in the end, Come back soon, and if that doesn't work, have your assistant find someone to help.
Adrian's disappearing figure was her response.
After he left, Margaret said helplessly, Why did it have to be Vivian?
It's making it difficult for us to say anything.
If we do, we'll be ungrateful people.
She sat down, sighing in frustration.
Kim reached out and touched her head, indulgently saying, Don't think too much, fate has its own arrangements.
Upon hearing this, Margaret glared at him and pouted.
What are you saying?
Kim simply smiled and remained silent.
However, Margaret thought of something and said to Kim, Stay here for a while.
I'll go over to Eva.
Okay.
Eva sat there in Adrian's coat, looking at Margaret as she walked towards her with some resignation.
Sure enough, after Margaret sat down next to her, she asked, Aren't you upset or heartbroken seeing him go find other women?
Eva could only softly respond, He's going to find someone, not do anything else.
Is that really all?
Eva remained silent.
You're a married couple, sometimes it's unnecessary to be so generous.
It's okay to be jealous.
If you're always too understanding, he might think you don't love him at all.
Yes, how could Eva not understand this reasoning?
But, she and Adrian started with a fake marriage.
What right does she have to be jealous? Seeing her not saying anything, unaware Margaret felt a little disappointed.
Forget it, as long as you two have no problems. As an elder, I won't say much anymore.
After speaking, Margaret got up and returned to Kim's side. Eva raised her gaze and saw that after Margaret went back, Kim carefully helped her sit down and adjusted her collar, showing his love throughout the whole process.
Indeed, love cannot be hidden. Sometimes she truly envied their love. Because in this world, there are very few couples who can be mutually in love, stay together for a long time, and whose love does not diminish over time.
When she was young and had teenage fantasies, secretly liking Adrian, she also wished for a love like Kim and Margaret's. Because of her father's failed love, Eva felt that love was not so beautiful. But when she saw Kim and Margaret, she felt like she could have it too. However, fantasies are just fantasies. Reality is completely different. She is her father's daughter. Her fate will probably be the same as her father's, unable to find happiness in love.
Finally. Thinking about this, Eva could only sigh in her heart. After a moment, she suddenly felt nauseous, probably because she didn't eat much this morning, and even felt stifled in her heart, wanting to go out for some fresh air. Considering this, Eva got up and said to Kim and Margaret, "Dad, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom." Upon hearing this, Margaret immediately turned her gaze to her.
"To the bathroom? Do you want me to accompany you?"
Eva shook her head.
"I can go by myself."
"Okay, be careful then." Mainly because she looked a little weak, Margaret was a bit worried about her.
"All right." Eva smiled at her and then walked outside. When she reached the door, she suddenly remembered that she hadn't taken off Adrian's jacket. But she was too lazy to go back, so she simply put the jacket on. The air in the hallway seemed to carry a chilly temperature, and Eva instinctively wrapped the jacket tightly around her. The weather has been getting colder lately. She glanced outside the window and speculated that it would likely snow in New York soon. Lost in thought, she heard footsteps behind her. There were many people coming and going in the hospital, so Eva didn't pay much attention. But when she heard the sound of those footsteps getting closer to her and that eerie feeling from earlier creeping back, she realized something was wrong and tried to turn around. A pair of hands wrapped around her from behind, covering her mouth and nose. Then, a smell reached her. Soon, Eva knew nothing. Chapter 124. Human nature is unpredictable. When Eva woke up, she found herself in an abandoned warehouse. Her head felt heavy and her body weak, as if she had no strength at all. Eva looked around and realized that she was indeed in an abandoned warehouse. The air was filled with the dampness and rotten odor. Her hands and feet were bound, and she was surrounded by stacks of discarded cardboard boxes. She had a pretty good idea of who was responsible for this. Eva pursed her lips, took a deep breath, and felt relieved when she didn't feel any pain in her stomach. She had been worried about being injured, but apart from where she was tied up, she didn't feel any other significant pain. As she was lost in thought, she heard a noise coming from outside the warehouse. The iron door was pushed open, making a heavy sound, and the dim environment of the warehouse was once again filled with light. Eva saw Alexander walk in, carrying a bag. Bang! The iron door was closed again, plunging the warehouse back into darkness. Alexander walked up to her, threw the bag aside, and crouched down in front of her. Eva calmly locked eyes with him. After a moment, Alexander said, "I can remove the tape from your mouth, but if you dare scream and anger me, I will knock you out immediately." Upon hearing this, Eva paused for a moment and then nodded. After a few seconds of contemplation, Alexander tore off the tape from her mouth. As soon as the tape was removed, Eva instantly felt that her breathing was much smoother than before. However, the smell in the warehouse was terrible,
so she refrained from taking deep breaths. But her unusual behavior surprised Alexander.
"Aren't you afraid?" he asked. Upon hearing this, Eva looked at him calmly and asked, "If I say I'm afraid, will you let me go?"
"No."
"Well, then."
Eva leaned against the pile of rotten cardboard boxes behind her and remained silent. Her disheveled hair and pale face, which had been frozen, looked clean and haggard. Strands of hair fell and covered most of her face, making her look even thinner. Alexander just stared at her quietly. It had to be said that this woman in front of him was very beautiful, but he never expected that such a beautiful woman would have such a venomous heart.
"What should we do now?
You hurt Vivian, so I must seek revenge, but you, the only noble child who recognized me at first sight and even knew my name," Alexander said. Ever since he entered that school, he had been looked down upon because of his identity. Not only were they looking down upon him, but those people had never even glanced at him properly. But Eva, on that day, managed to call out her name accurately. This made Alexander feel like he had finally become someone. Unfortunately, this person turned out to be the woman who hurt Vivian. So after bringing her back, Alexander hesitated and hadn't taken action yet, as he was conflicted about this matter. Unexpectedly, after listening to his words, Eva calmly asked him, "Is Vivian okay? Did I tell you that I hurt her?" Upon hearing this, Alexander squinted his eyes and raised his eyebrows in denial. "Of course not, how could Vivian directly say such a thing?" "So it was said by her companion."
"You are clever."
"It was said by her companion, so what? Do you think that just because Vivian didn't say it herself, you can wash away your guilt of framing her?" Eva looked at Alexander in front of her and suddenly asked, "You like Vivian, don't you?" The fact that he liked Vivian was well known at school, so Alexander did not deny it this time.
"So what if I do? If I don't like her, why would I have taken you captive for her?
So, you want to sacrifice yourself for her and seek revenge on me?
What are you saying?"
Eva didn't look at him, instead she looked out the window, her voice faint. "I remember you telling me once that you thought you had no value in the eyes of society." Upon hearing this, Alexander's pupils contracted.
"Do you remember what I asked you at that time?
What do you think would be helpful to society?
Is this your answer?"
Alexander stood frozen in place. Seeing him like this, Eva sarcastically curled her lips, "Or should I say, what value have you created for yourself? After hearing Vivian's companion say that I harmed her, did you ever investigate the truth?"
"Investigate?"
Alexander had never thought about such a thing, and he never expected Eva to point him in a new direction. Eva looked at him with amusement.
"So, you never thought about investigating before coming to kidnap me, is that right?
Then let me ask you, what about after the kidnapping? Do you think the police won't find out about you?" Upon hearing this, Alexander said coldly, "Are you talking about surveillance? Do you think I wouldn't have prepared in advance?"
Eva shook her head.
"No, I'm not talking about surveillance." Ever since Eva had dealings with Vivian after returning to the country, she had come to understand some things. And combined with the phone call she received in front of the operating room today, Eva suddenly realized that this was actually a scheme by Vivian. Setting up a meeting for negotiation and making promises to each other, it was all non-existent. Vivian was afraid of Eva's child in her belly. As long as Eva was pregnant, she would never be calm. But she didn't want to carry a bad reputation. So these villainous acts had to be done by someone else. Last time it was Julia at the farewell party, and this time it was the current Alexander becoming her scapegoat. Even Adrian was calculated in her plan. The disappearance without a trace, leaving only a phone in the hospital, were all carefully thought out by her, right?
If it's not surveillance, then what?
Alexander curiously asked. He couldn't understand,
feeling as if the woman in front of him was speaking in riddles. Upon hearing this, Eva snapped back to her senses and said softly, "I'm talking about the unfathomable nature of human hearts." Alexander was puzzled. After a while, he finally understood. "Are you saying that someone will expose me?" "I didn't say that," Eva's expression was calm. "But there are always consequences for mistakes, and someone has to bear them." As she spoke, Alexander understood what she meant. Eva looked up and her gaze fell on Alexander's face. "Everyone is born equal, I have never looked down on you." Upon hearing this, Alexander pursed his lips. If these words were spoken by someone else, he would find it laughable. But unfortunately, these words were spoken by Eva. After so many years, she still remembered his name. However, on the surface, Alexander smirked. "Do you think by saying these things, I will spare you? Whether you spare me or not is up to you, I just want to ask you, are you really determined to sacrifice yourself for Vivian? Even if you end up taking her place in jail and becoming someone who is not only useless to society but also harmful in the eyes of everyone, does it not matter to you?" Chapter 125. I only have Vivian in my heart. Granny Blackwood is in surgery, and Kim and Margaret may not notice Eva's disappearance in time. Even if they do, they probably won't be able to get away. Adrian was led away by Vivian, and the situation is unclear, so Eva can only save herself. Since their last meeting, Eva remembers vividly the mocking words she said to Alexander. Coupled with what he said today, she can tell that Alexander seems to care a lot about what others think of him. Therefore, she might be able to try approaching him from this aspect and create an opportunity for herself. After she finished speaking, Alexander fell into silence, clearly pondering over this question. Before coming here, he was filled with anger and only thought about seeking revenge for Vivian. But after Eva clearly pointed out the consequences, Alexander found himself hesitating. Although he didn't want to admit it, Eva was speaking the truth. When something happens, someone has to bear the consequences. And he will definitely be the one to bear those consequences. Seeing him moved and lost in thought, Eva knew that she was heading in the right direction to save herself. It seems that this Alexander does indeed care about his reputation more than she imagined. Eva felt quite pleased because it turns out that everyone has their own weaknesses. "You don't want to, right?" Eva's voice was gentle, as if it was filled with magic. "Actually, you're still so young with a bright future ahead. You shouldn't give up everything for love." Upon hearing this, Alexander seemed to snap out of his dilemma, suddenly lifting his head and glaring at her fiercely. "So you just want me to let you go?" His fierce gaze startled Eva, but she quickly calmed down. "Yes, I want you to let me go, but my request is for my own sake."
"What about your request?"
"My request?" Alexander looked at her with cold eyes, and suddenly some changes occurred. "You hurt Vivian, so how dare you ask me to let you go? Have you investigated it yourself?" Eva replied with a question. Upon hearing this, Alexander pursed his lips and remained silent. "In other words, you didn't even bother to verify the facts and readily believed one side's words to conclude that it was me who did it." With this in mind, a bitter smile appeared on Eva's lips, giving her fair face a touch of melancholy. "In that case, why should I argue any more?" After saying that, she lowered her eyes, showing no intention to speak further. This attitude made Alexander suspicious, and he narrowed his eyes. You really didn't hurt Vivian." To be honest, Alexander wanted to believe her. After all, someone who could remember his name didn't seem that malicious. "Of course not." Eva lifted her head, speaking with utmost sincerity. "I would never stoop so low." Just as Alexander was moved by her words, the warehouse door suddenly slammed open. "Xander, don't believe what this woman is saying, she's deceiving you,"
came a familiar voice from outside. Eva immediately recognized it as the voice of Julia, who had become her enemy that day. She furrowed her eyebrows in recognition. Sure enough, when Alexander heard the sound of her knocking, his expression changed and he looked at Eva uncertainly before turning to open the warehouse door. As soon as the warehouse door opened, Julia eagerly walked in. Seeing Eva in a disheveled state, lying amidst piles of cardboard boxes, Julia immediately showed a smug smile. "Eva, you've also met your downfall. Why are you here?" Alexander looked at Julia displeased, probably not expecting her to come over. Julia glared at him in displeasure. "If I didn't come, then would you just let the culprit who harmed Vivian go?" she retorted. Alexander, exposed by Julia, looked visibly embarrassed and clenched his teeth. "What does this have to do with you? Why does it not concern me? I am Vivian's good friend. If you can avenge Vivian, can't I avenge her too?" Alexander couldn't help but laugh coldly. "If you want to avenge her, don't do it through me. Get lost." "Get lost? That's impossible." With those words, Julia lifted her leg and kicked Eva. When her foot came flying, Eva's expression changed and she managed to curl up her body. Bang! Julia's flying kick landed perfectly on Eva's leg. Pain surged through her. Eva was in so much pain that tears instantly streamed down her face. "What are you doing?" Alexander's face changed drastically, and he rushed forward, forcefully pulling Julia away as she was about to kick again. "Have you gone crazy?" Although Julia had gone mad, her strength was no match for that of a grown man. Alexander quickly pulled her away, leaving her feeling rough. "You're the one who's crazy. You've already captured her, so why are you still pretending here? How about this, could it be that you find Eva quite pretty and have fallen for her?" Upon hearing this, Alexander instantly retorted, "Nonsense. My heart only belongs to Vivian." "Your heart only belongs to Vivian? Well then, prove it to me." Julia brazenly crossed her arms in front of her chest, looking at Alexander mockingly. "Didn't you always say that you would repay those who hurt Vivian 100-fold? Now, the person is right in front of you, what do you plan to do?" Alexander fell silent instantly. He looked at Eva, who was curled up in the cardboard boxes, and furrowed his eyebrows. Julia's kick seemed to be quite heavy just now, and Eva seemed to be in bad shape. Watching from the side, Julia kept sneering as she noticed he was staring at Eva for a long time without taking any action. "What's the matter? Have you still not figured out what to do, or have you developed feelings of pity for her?" Alexander didn't say anything, he just stared silently at Eva, seemingly deep in thought. Eva saw that he wasn't completely hopeless, so she endured the pain and said, "Alexander, she just wants to use you to get back at me. Do you believe that if you turn around and leave now, she wouldn't dare to harm me alone?" How could Alexander not understand the meaning behind Eva's words? It's simply suggesting that if he leaves and something happens to her, Julia would be responsible. She wouldn't dare. "Don't talk nonsense. You should be grateful that Alexander is here, or else you wouldn't even have the chance to speak." "Is that so?" Eva leaned against the wall, panting lightly with cold sweat on her fair forehead. "Then tell Alexander to leave now, and you stay behind. Let's see if you can handle it if something happens to me." "You." Julia was hit where it hurt, feeling angry and embarrassed, but then she had a thought and smirked mockingly, "Right, I can't run away. I don't plan to run either, so we still have a long time together. Eva, how about we play a game?" Eva looked at her expressionlessly. Julia walked towards her, but was stopped by Alexander halfway. "What are you trying to do?" Julia squinted her eyes and stared at Eva. "You're quite capable. Not only did you enchant Adrian, but also seduced Alexander. Do you want to snatch everything Vivian has?" Chapter 126.
He won't answer your call.
Eva's eyebrows furrowed upon hearing this.
Snatch everything Vivian has?
She and Adrian hadn't confirmed anything between them. Otherwise, how could Eva have been so persistent, liking Adrian and even daring to fake a marriage with him? Wasn't it just because he and Vivian hadn't progressed?
Thinking of this, Eva sneered, "You say Adrian belongs to Vivian.
Did he confess it to you?
Don't act tough, Eva.
Whether Adrian belongs to Vivian or not, you'll find out soon enough."
After saying that, Julia brushed Alexander's hand away and crouched down in front of Eva.
"You have your phone with you, right?"
As she got closer, Eva watched her warily.
"Don't look at me like that.
It's just a little test."
After speaking, Julia flipped Eva over to find her pockets. At first, Eva was worried about her belly and didn't know what she was up to, so she struggled in fear.
"Don't move."
In the next second, Julia lowered her voice and warned her, "If you move again, I can't guarantee something won't happen to you."
Upon hearing this, Eva's expression changed.
"What are you planning to do?"
"I'm just doing a little test with your phone."
"Are you worried about that bastard in your womb?"
Her voice was very low, not even audible to Alexander.
She even triumphantly added, "I heard from Vivian that you really want to protect this bastard.
How about it?
Do you think you can use him to your advantage forever?
Can you keep Mrs. Blackwood's position, bastard?"
The use of this term made Eva's expression fierce. She couldn't control herself and fiercely banged her head against Julia, who was close by.
"Ah!"
Julia was instantly knocked down and let out a cry of pain.
"You are not allowed to say that about him."
Eva gritted her teeth and glared at Julia with a fierce look. Her previously gentle expression had turned into a menacing one, with eyes so sharp that it seemed like she wanted to fight someone. The transformation was so drastic that it terrified Julia. Her head was still buzzing from the impact on her forehead when she managed to get up. She was angry and wanted to retaliate. But when she met Eva's eyes, she was inexplicably intimidated. She stood still in place, not moving, until Alexander ran over and grabbed her arm, pulling her up.
"What are you trying to do?"
Only then did Julia come back to her senses. She dared not provoke Eva anymore. Although she was now bound, if she were to fight with Eva and accidentally injure herself, what would she do? So she could only turn her head and address Alexander, "Where is her phone? She cannot have left without her phone, right? What did you do with her phone?"
Alexander glanced at her with disdain and let go of her hand.
"What is it to you?"
"Of course, it concerns me. I need to make a call with her phone."
Julia threatened him using Vivian's name. Originally, he was planning to refuse, but Julia knew how to use Vivian's name to threaten him. In the end, Alexander could only hand her the phone. After receiving it, Julia fiddled with it for a while.
"What exactly are you planning to do?"
"Just wait and see." Alexander looked at her with disgust, then his gaze shifted to Eva. She was lying there, her fair forehead now red from the impact. Compared to her pale lips, it looked devastatingly alarming. He wondered what Julia had said to Eva. Despite being caught by him, she remained calm. Julia scrolled through Eva's phone and effortlessly found Adrian's number. Because of the recent attack, she dared not approach Eva directly and only squatted near her.
"Guess if I call Adrian right now with your phone, would he answer?"
Eva looked at her coldly, with eyes so indifferent that she seemed to want nothing to do with her. Seeing her like this, Julia couldn't help but angrily say, "At this point, do you still think you are some kind of pure and noble fairy? You clearly want to be Mrs. Blackwood, yet you still pretend. You'll have a hard time later."
"Whether I want to be Mrs. Blackwood or not has nothing to do with you," Eva sneered.
"Or could it be that you also want to be Mrs. Blackwood?"
Upon hearing this, Julia's face turned red, and her words got stuck in her throat.
"What are you talking about?
I was just making a random comment, and you got so worked up.
Did I hit the nail on the head?
Julia's entire expression twisted in anger.
Eva, don't regret this.
After speaking, Julia dialed Adrian's phone number directly and smirked triumphantly.
I'm sure you know who Adrian is with right now, don't you?
But I wonder, if his wife were to seek his help at this moment, would he come?
At this point, Julia paused and then pretended to be surprised as she covered her mouth.
Oh dear, I forgot to mention, he might not even answer the call.
Not to mention hearing your plea, right?
Beep beep, the phone connected.
Beside her, Alexander already understood what Julia was trying to do and furrowed his brow.
Do you want to summon others?
Are you out of your mind?
Shut up.
Summon who?
Impatiently, Julia said, Adrian won't answer Eva's call right now.
He's with Vivian.
Upon hearing this, Alexander's gaze darkened slightly.
In other words, he was sacrificing himself for someone who was with another man?
Thinking about what Eva had said, it wasn't unreasonable.
She could never like him, so everything he was doing was in vain.
Alexander suddenly felt regretful.
Beep.
But the call made by Julia on Eva's phone remained unanswered. Until finally, a female voice could be heard.
Hello, the person you are trying to reach is not available at the moment.
Please try again later.
Upon hearing the cold, mechanical voice, Julia finally couldn't help but burst into mad laughter.
Eva, I told you he wouldn't answer your call, right?
Look, he's with Vivian now.
You don't matter to him at all.
Eva, you don't even deserve to be compared to Vivian.
After talking for a while without getting any response, Julia looked up at Eva.
This look almost made her lose her temper.
Eva was calmly looking at her, without showing any sadness or anger due to Adrian not answering the call.
Julia wanted to get back at her, but if she couldn't even provoke a bit of anger from her, then what was the point of what she had just done?
I don't believe that you can be so indifferent.
Probably angered by her, Julia threw her phone and pounced towards Eva.
Julia, what are you about to do?
Alexander had just started speaking when the warehouse door slammed open.
Chapter 127. The pregnancy is discovered.
Inside the warehouse, the three of them all looked towards the entrance.
Before they could react, a group of people rushed in.
Immediately after, Julia's hands were grabbed and she was pushed to the ground.
Alexander suffered the same treatment.
Because of the large number of people, the already dusty warehouse suddenly became suffocating.
Eva instinctively closed her eyes.
Capture them and take them out.
What are you doing?
Let me go.
With her eyes closed, Eva heard Julia struggling and screaming, gradually getting further away.
Did she get saved?
Eva wondered.
The team of people just now didn't seem like the police.
Who saved her?
While pondering, Eva felt a bit dizzy, even a bit nauseous. She didn't know if it was because of the impact just now or because of the sedative earlier.
When Alexander's hand covered her, she lost consciousness shortly after.
She didn't know if it had any negative effects on her body either.
While pondering, Eva heard a steady pair of footsteps approaching her.
She struggled to lift her head, wanting to see who the person was, but she lost consciousness the next second.
Eva was originally leaning against a pile of cardboard boxes, so even though she lost consciousness, she didn't fall down.
It was just that her head drooped.
A few seconds later, a pair of large hands held up her head, gently lifting her up.
As the girl was carried in the man's arms, her soft hair brushed against his chest.
The man's gaze instantly turned gentle.
But when he looked at his subordinates, his eyes and voice returned to being cold.
Let's go.
With those words, he carried her and walked out.
Just as they left the warehouse, they coincidentally ran into Julia and Alexander being escorted onto a car.
Alexander's face was pale, seemingly regretting something.
Meanwhile,
Julia was cursing angrily there, extremely unwilling.
What are you people doing?
Let go of me already. It's illegal to forcefully grab me like this.
Illegal?
The leader sneered. So you know that forcefully grabbing someone is illegal. Julia choked on her words after hearing that, and a few seconds later, she directly placed the blame on Alexander, who was also being forced onto the car.
He did it, it has nothing to do with me.
Alexander paused his steps, surprisingly not feeling very surprised. It was normal for Julia to push all the blame onto himself.
Hear that?
He did everything, it has nothing to do with me, Julia claimed.
Is that so?
The leader raised an eyebrow. If it has nothing to do with you, then why were you at the scene?
When we entered, you even rushed towards Miss Hansen.
Don't tell me you wanted to save her.
Julia said, of course I wanted to save her.
I suspected Alexander wanted to harm her, so.
Upon hearing this, the leader couldn't help but roll his eyes.
It was clear that he didn't want to listen to her overly foolish remarks anymore.
He waved his hand and had someone forcefully stuff her into the car.
After everything quieted down, he complained, "Where did this idiot come from? I'm afraid my own intelligence will decrease after hearing too much."
He turned his head and met a pair of icy eyes, instantly shrinking in fear, quickly opening the door to another car for him.
"Mr. Cooper, please."
Michael calmly and gracefully made a sound, then bent down slightly, carrying the girl into the car. The driver for him was named Aaron Gibbons, standing behind and watching Michael with eyes that he had never seen before, gently and tenderly placing the person in the car. The driver in front obviously noticed and spoke in a consciously lowered voice.
"Mr. Cooper, where should we go next?"
Hearing this, Michael glanced at the person, as if his eyes were saying, "Do you really need to ask me where to go?"
The driver, upon meeting his gaze, nervously swallowed a mouthful of saliva, and after a moment, he heard Michael say, "Go to the nearest hospital."
"Okay, understood."
After hearing the destination, the driver no longer dared to delay and quickly started driving. However, because Eva was in the car, the driver couldn't drive too fast, so he could only drive slowly.
A few minutes later, Michael raised his hand and pushed his glasses on his face, emotionlessly saying, "If you continue to drive like this and delay her condition when we arrive at the hospital, will you be able to bear the responsibility?"
Upon hearing this, the driver's expression changed and cold sweat began to form on his back.
"Yes, I will accelerate immediately."
10 minutes later, the car stopped at the entrance of the nearest hospital. Michael carried the person out of the car.
After he left, the driver reached out and touched his forehead. His hand was covered in cold sweat.
Although Michael hadn't said anything serious today, the cold atmosphere surrounding him made the driver extremely afraid.
Fortunately, his task was already completed, and now he just needed to hand the person over to the doctors at the hospital.
Not knowing how long she had been asleep, when Eva woke up, it was already pitch black outside the window. Her head still felt heavy, as if something had struck her causing discomfort. At first, her expression was still dazed.
Suddenly, Eva thought of something and sat up abruptly from the bed, wanting to get out of bed.
However, she accidentally pulled on the needle for the four in her hand, causing her to inhale sharply in pain.
The noise she made caused Michael, who was sitting on the sofa, to quickly come over and help her up, then call for a nurse.
Later, the nurse reprocessed the needle in her hand.
While the nurse was working, Eva said, "Can you remove this for now? I have an urgent matter to attend to."
"Well?"
The nurse glanced at Michael standing beside her.
Michael chuckled lightly, "You can't remove it? Your body is not well, and both bottles need to be finished."
"Michael, I am grateful that you saved me, but I really have something important now.
If you're referring to Granny Blackwood's surgery, then you can rest assured."
Hearing the key words, Eva immediately stopped.
You know?
Gr.
How is Annie Blackwood's surgery?
Don't worry.
Michael placed his hand on her head, with a gentle smile. The surgery was a success.
You don't need to worry, she is resting well now.
Upon hearing the news of the successful surgery, Eva's tense heart finally eased. Her brows and eyes instantly softened, and she realized that her grandmother wouldn't have to worry about her illness anymore, nor would she have to stay in the sanatorium frequently. With this in mind, Eva looked up and asked, "Then I want to go see her now. What about this potion?"
Eva.
Michael's large hand moved from the back of her head to her shoulder, his voice gentle.
The most important thing for you now is to take care of yourself, understand?
Although he didn't say anything important in his words, Eva inexplicably felt that he seemed to have something unsaid.
Eva's mind began to spin rapidly.
This was a hospital, and she woke up here. The doctors wouldn't casually give her an infusion without knowing her condition, so if she received one, it means. Thinking of a certain possibility, Eva's face instantly turned paler, and then slowly raised her head to look at Michael.
Chapter 128.
He doesn't want this baby. Through her gold-rimmed glasses, Eva observed the deepness in his eyes, as if they were shrouded in a mist that couldn't be grasped. Meanwhile, Michael maintained his smile on the surface. After a moment of eye contact, Michael raised an eyebrow.
What's wrong?
Upon hearing his words, Eva lowered her gaze and didn't respond. She also didn't bring up the matter of visiting Granny Blackwood again, quietly allowing the nurse to reinsert the needle for her. The intense pain radiating from her hand made Eva more alert. Once the nurse left, there were only the two of them left in the hospital room, and it was a suitable time to discuss certain matters. Just as Eva was debating how to start, Michael suddenly crouched in front of her. He held a pure white handkerchief in his hand, gently wiping away the bloodstains that had seeped from her wound, which had been pulled earlier. The nurse had already attended to her wound, and the remaining blood had already seeped into her sleeve, creating faint stains that couldn't be completely removed. But Michael seemed to have some kind of compulsion or cleanliness obsession, continuously and slowly wiping at those blood stains. After nearly 15 seconds of this, Eva couldn't help but say, "You don't have to wipe anymore. It won't come off." Upon hearing this, Michael's movements came to a halt. He didn't continue wiping and after a moment, he said, "Someone will bring you clothes later. You can change out of this one then." Eva didn't respond. She couldn't quite understand what Michael was up to. He definitely already knew about her pregnancy. Yet, since the nurse left until now, he hadn't mentioned a word about it. He and Adrian were brothers. Eva didn't know if he would tell Adrian. As Eva pondered all this, she finally heard Michael speak up. "You look like you have something to say with that hesitating look. Do you want to talk to me about something?" Eva bit her lower lip, looking at him with difficulty. The next second, Michael lightly tapped her forehead with his hand. "We've been friends for so many years. Do you really have to think so much before talking to me?" It wasn't that Eva was being overly reserved, it's just that this matter was really difficult to bring up. In the end, Michael laughed lightly and said, "All right, then let me ask you. What are you planning to do?" With this question, it meant that he really did know. Although the possibility of him not knowing after bringing her to the hospital was very small, Eva still held onto a tiny bit of hope. Now that Michael had taken the initiative to bring it up, that tiny bit of hope in Eva was completely shattered. She said with a gray complexion, "So, you knew all along." Eva lowered her head. "Will you tell him?" For a long time, she didn't receive a response from Michael. After a while, she felt Michael's large hand rubbing her head. This action made Eva's eyebrows furrow slightly. Why does he still treat himself like a child? But immediately after, she heard Michael ask quietly, "Don't you want him to know?" This question caught Eva off guard. Logically,
As Adrian's brother, Michael should have been surprised to hear her say that Adrian didn't know about this. But his response was to ask her if she didn't want him to know. Thinking about this, Eva looked up and saw Michael putting the handkerchief he had just used to wipe her face back into his suit pocket. Another scene flashed before her eyes. The last time they left the restaurant, he had touched someone and then used the handkerchief to carefully wipe his hands, before throwing it away. But now, for a moment, Eva forgot what she wanted to say and felt her mind spinning. "Don't worry, I will help you." Upon hearing this, Eva's mind became even more confused and she looked up at him with a puzzled face. "Help me." Michael smiled slightly. "And also help Adrian and Vivian, this pair of lovers." The term lovers pained Eva's heart, but in the end, she nodded numbly. Although her mind was still in chaos, knowing that he would keep her secret gave Eva some relief. "What's going on between you two?" Finally finding an opportunity after ensuring both parties had a common goal, Michael asked her. "You spend your days and nights together. Doesn't he know about your pregnancy?" Eva involuntarily clenched her hands together. "He knows." Upon hearing this, Michael's eyes behind the lenses darkened slightly and his tone changed. "He knows." Eva nodded, thinking of the message she had sent out that had received no response. She instinctively reached up to tidy her stray hair and smiled faintly. "He doesn't want this child." Upon hearing this, Michael understood everything. In other words, Adrian knows she's pregnant, but doesn't want the child. However, Eva wants to keep it, so she quietly decided to keep the child without letting Adrian know. No wonder she looked so cautious when she went to the restaurant. "So, he thinks you have already gotten rid of the child?" "Probably." Seeing her pale face and forced smile, Michael pursed his thin lips and his eyes became somewhat dark. After a moment, he sighed, "Why are you so foolish? Are you planning to raise the child on your own? Is that not allowed?" Eva lifted her head to meet his gaze. "Although I'm alone, I'm certain that I can raise the child well. After all, I grew up in a single-parent household myself. I received just as much love from my father as anyone else. I never felt that I was any different without a mother." Her speech speed increased and her voice grew softer, clearly losing confidence as she spoke. He held her wrist gently, and Michael said softly, "All right, it's just raising a child. You don't need to explain so much. Just do what you want to do." Due to her previous excitement, Eva's breathing had become heavier. After a short while, she calmed down. "Sorry, I got a little emotional just now," she said with lowered eyes and a soft voice. Michael looked at Eva in front of him, feeling somewhat helpless. On the surface, she seemed no different from a normal person, not only physically and mentally healthy but also exceptionally determined. However, having grown up without a mother's company, she was still easily sensitive when it came to single-parent households. "It's not a problem," Michael continued to smile gently. "By the way, I received a call from Adrian before you woke up, and he is probably on his way here. Be mentally prepared." Bang. As soon as his words fell, the door to the ward was forcefully pushed open. Immediately after, a familiar figure appeared at the entrance. Before Eva could react, the person rushed to her and grabbed her shoulder, panting heavily and asking, "Are you injured? Are you okay?" Chapter 129. Self-awareness is necessary. At this moment, Adrian's hair was messy, and his face showed anxiety. He still carried the chilling air from outside. Eva realized that he had come rushing here for her, but she knew that he had probably been looking for Vivian outside before coming to find her. And he was simply too busy to have time to answer her call. Or maybe it was inconvenient. As for why it was inconvenient, she didn't want to speculate too much. So when he came running to find her, Eva's heart did not flutter.
but the relationship between the two still needed to maintain a surface balance, so she lightly shook her head.
"Don't worry, I'm fine." Her tone was calm, as if she hadn't been startled by this, nor disappointed by him not answering the phone. But Adrian didn't have the leisure to dwell on these matters at the moment. He bent over and lifted Eva up. Eva suddenly felt weightless and instinctively wanted to reach out and wrap her arms around his neck, but her hand accidentally touched the needle, causing her pain, which instantly brought her back to her senses and stopped the movement. Before she could say anything, Michael spoke up proactively.
"Adrian, what are you doing?"
Adrian coldly replied, taking her for a checkup.
"The checkup has already been done,"
Michael calmly responded.
"I want to do a thorough one."
Michael's smile remained unchanged. "Didn't you see the needle in her hand?" Hearing that, Adrian paused and only then did he notice that she was still receiving intravenous therapy. Because he had been too anxious just now, he hadn't noticed this. After realizing this, Adrian also realized that he might have caused her pain when he lifted her up just now, so he quickly put Eva back on the bed.
"Are you hurt?"
he asked softly. Eva was placed back on the bed and listened to Adrian's gentle voice ringing in her ears, feeling a sense of sarcasm. When she needed him, he couldn't even answer a phone call. What's the point of these concerns now? Fortunately, she had already figured it out long ago. She and him were not a couple, so he didn't need to fulfill those responsibilities towards her. So she continued to smile symbolically, "I'm fine." Her appearance made Adrian unable to help furrowing his brows. He wanted to say something, but because there were other people in the ward, he forcefully held back. "Then rest for now, and when the infusion is finished, I'll take you for a comprehensive examination." Eva definitely wouldn't go for a comprehensive examination again. If she were really taken for an examination, her hidden secrets would surely be discovered. But if she refused, then what? Just at this moment, Michael, who was standing beside them, timely spoke up.
"Adrian, don't you trust me enough?
She has already done the necessary examinations, there's no problem." Upon hearing this, Adrian glanced at him with a cold and emotionally charged gaze. And yet, Michael seemed as if he hadn't seen it, still wearing a faint smile on his lips. After a moment, Adrian thought of something, and his aura became even colder. He proposed in a chilly voice, "Let her rest in the ward, shall we go out?" Michael nodded. "All right." Afterward, the two of them left the ward. Before Michael left the ward, Eva exchanged a glance with him. Adrian caught sight of it and felt a heavier hostility emanating from him. After the door of the ward closed, the two of them walked to the opposite side, making sure that the sound of their conversation wouldn't reach the ward. "What happened?" Adrian's sharp gaze fell on Michael's face, filled with deep curiosity. Hearing this, Michael took off his glasses and gently wiped them before explaining with a smile, "I heard Granny Blackwood had a surgery, and I got a bit worried, so I decided to go to the hospital to check. When I arrived at the hospital, I saw a familiar figure being taken into a car. However, I couldn't confirm it without seeing her face. Later, I went to the surgical area and confirmed it was Eva, so I got someone to save her." Adrian also wanted to know the process of the situation, so he listened quietly. After Michael finished speaking, Adrian frowned. "What about the person who committed the crime?
They were caught."
"Who?" Adrian couldn't understand. Eva didn't have any enemies, so who would target her at this time? Hearing his question, Michael fell silent. Seeing this, Adrian furrowed his brow and asked, "Michael." Hearing this, Michael raised his gaze and thoughtfully said, "Do you really want to know?" This question puzzled Adrian even more. Although Eva didn't seem to have any major problems now, kidnapping is a serious matter. How could he not care about someone who intended harm towards her? Michael put his glasses back on and said seriously,
the person who kidnapped her might be quite unexpected for you. You must prepare yourself for a difficult decision." Adrian felt a sense of ominousness as soon as he heard the words "difficult decision." Sure enough, before he could ask further, Michael said, "It's someone from Vivian's side." Hearing this, Adrian's gaze turned cold. "My people have already sent the name. Take a look for yourself." Michael handed the phone to Adrian. Adrian took the phone and glanced at the photos on it. Immediately, he recognized them. They were the person who had a dispute with Eva at the farewell party last time and was forbidden from appearing in front of Vivian, as well as another guy who looks like a thug. Adrian glanced at the latter, but didn't recognize him at all. "Does he have any connection with Vivian?" Adrian pointed at Alexander's photo. "According to the information, he and Vivian were former classmates and he used to pursue Vivian." "How about that? You've got yourself a love triangle. You didn't even know Vivian had a pursuer." The term "love triangle" didn't sit well with Adrian, and he frowned. Adrian looked at Michael, who seemed to have no trace of anger. After being with Adrian for so long, no matter what, he always had a shallow smile on his lips. Clearly, he wasn't like this before, but now it makes people feel. Thinking of this, Adrian narrowed his eyes and asked a question that he had been wanting to ask since earlier. "Why didn't you contact me when you found out Eva had been taken away?" As Adrian said this, his gaze locked onto Michael, but he found that Michael still had that calm and gentle demeanor. "Sorry, Adrian, I didn't have time back then." Upon hearing this answer, Adrian furrowed his brows deeply. His voice instantly turned cold and his eyes looked at Michael with a hint of mockery, as he said in a deep voice, "Was it that you didn't have time, or that you didn't want to say?" Michael's lips still held a smile, but his words were different. "Since you already know, why ask so clearly?" Adrian's breath hitched upon hearing this. "Do you like her?" Michael smiled without saying a word, clearly implying his affirmation. Adrian gritted his teeth. "She is my wife now. It doesn't matter, you two will get divorced," Michael replied. Adrian's expression changed. "Did she tell you?" Michael didn't confirm or deny, he simply said in a low voice, "Adrian, as a friend, I have to remind you. You need to have self-awareness. Why did you marry Eva, and why are you tangled up with Vivian now? Don't you know what you want?" Chapter 130. "I won't go easy on you." Adrian's mind was in chaos. Since his youth, he had always found Michael peculiar. Always being close to Eva and fond of patting her head, calling her a little girl. But Michael always said that Eva was just an immature little girl. So Adrian always thought of her as his younger sister. Although his subjective thoughts were like that, deep down Adrian always felt something was off. This feeling of unease continued until they lost contact after Adrian went abroad. However, he never expected that today. Michael actually admitted it and admitted it so quickly. Surprised. Michael chuckled softly. "Haven't I made my liking for her obvious since we were young? I thought you knew all along." Adrian stayed silent, his lips pressed straight. "It seems you just found out. Well, better late than never." Thinking of something, Michael continued, "What are you going to do about Vivian?" "What?" Adrian's concern was solely focused on Michael's feelings for Eva, and he had no mental space for any other matters. Michael put it delicately. "I heard that you left the hospital halfway because someone messaged you saying that Vivian was missing." Both of them were intelligent people, and Adrian couldn't possibly not understand the meaning behind Michael's words. Although he also found it very coincidental to the point of suspicion, he couldn't believe this considering that Vivian had once risked her life to save him by jumping into the river. His silence made Michael understand his answer. "It seems our perspectives differ now. In that case, as a friend, I must inform you in advance,
I can't stand seeing anyone bully her, and if I find out that this matter is related to Vivian, I won't go easy on her.
Adrian furrowed his brows.
What do you mean?
Have you already concluded that it's her?
Just waiting for the results.
Don't you want to know?
Considering your feelings for Vivian, you should consider how you're going to face her if it turns out that she's involved, Michael said. After leaving the hospital, Adrian didn't go to find Vivian. Instead, he returned to the central hospital. His grandmother had already finished her surgery, but she was still in the observation room. After Adrian arrived, he asked, "Grandma?"
Slap.
A slap landed on Adrian's face. Adrian didn't dodge, and his face was hit on one side. Margaret's hand was trembling and aching after the slap, her pale palm turning red instantly. At this moment, she, who had always been refined and beautiful, had lost her composure, glaring at Adrian with slightly reddened eyes.
I am very disappointed in you.
Kim quickly stepped forward to pull her back.
Why did you have to do that?
Does your hand hurt? Kim said, while massaging Margaret's hand, looking concerned. Adrian's handsome face quickly showed a palm print. Margaret almost used her entire strength in that slap. His eyes dimmed. From childhood to adulthood, his mother never hit him. Only this time. But he couldn't even say a word of retort. He was disappointing. He ran out when his grandmother was having surgery and only just returned now. He is a jerk. After a while, he said, I'll go see grandma first. Then he walked away. Margaret stared at his back in anger, and Kim was still trying to calm her down.
Okay, calm down, anyway, things are already like this.
What do you mean?
I don't care just because things are like this.
It's because he never cares that he's so stubborn now.
Margaret was so angry that she didn't have the aura of a sophisticated wealthy lady at all.
I'm not telling you not to care. It's just that things are already like this, and it's useless for you to be angry at yourself.
Let's take it slowly.
Take it slowly?
Even though things are already like this, we're supposed to take it slowly.
Why don't you take care of it yourself if you think it's slow enough?
I don't care anymore.
Kim sighed helplessly.
You know I always listen to you.
As for our son, what would you do if you were in his shoes?
If you heard that someone who saved your life disappeared, could you sit quietly in the operating room?
Margaret remained silent.
It's a dilemma, how do you expect him to choose?
I didn't say he couldn't go find them. But why did he take so long?
Even Eva, fortunately Michael found her, otherwise Eva would have been in grave danger.
So even if he's in a dilemma, what's the use?
Yeah, luckily Michael was there for this.
Don't blame Adrian anymore, he's probably feeling bad too.
Let him feel bad.
He deserves it.
Don't wait until something happens to realize what's most important to him.
However, despite saying that, Margaret couldn't help but feel heartache when she thought of how Adrian silently walked away after she slapped him just now.
He's probably feeling bad too.
But what can he do?
Either choice would be painful for him.
Margaret and Kim can't even say anything bad about Vivian, otherwise they would be seen as ungrateful.
In life, we still need gratitude.
Many things are difficult to balance, and Eva is the one who suffers the most.
Thinking of this, Margaret felt even more heartache for Eva.
Just thinking about what happened today, Margaret felt that she wouldn't be able to tolerate it if she were in Eva's shoes.
She just didn't know how Eva managed to endure it.
After about an hour observing Granny Blackwood in the hospital observation room, Adrian stood up.
I'm going out for a while.
Although he was just slapped by Margaret, Adrian still informed the two before leaving.
Margaret immediately frowned upon hearing this.
You still want to go out at a time like this?
There are some things I need to handle.
As Adrian said these words, the sound of N was deep.
Margaret, seeing him like this,
originally didn't want him to go, but after thinking about it, she changed her mind and said, "All right, then go handle it quickly, handle it early. And also, about Eva. Don't worry, I will handle everything." Adrian left. Since Vivian returned to the ward, she noticed that Julia wasn't there. She waited for a long time, but Julia didn't come back. Furthermore, her phone was silent, with no calls or messages coming in. It was as if Julia and Alexander had suddenly disappeared from the world. She started to feel a little anxious. She knew that it was Alexander who took action at this time. She had already put in a lot of effort and taken risks to buy them time. Adrian was an extremely clever person, and he would definitely suspect her eventually. And she could only use her life-saving favor at this time. And her injury. As long as the baby in Eva's belly disappeared, it would be good. She hoped that Alexander had already resolved this matter, otherwise her efforts would be in vain. Just as she was lost in thought, the door of the ward was pushed open. "Who is it?" Vivian suddenly looked up at the door, thinking it was Julia coming back with good news. But what entered her sight was Adrian in a dark suit. And at this moment, Adrian had an icy expression and exuded a heavy aura.